Praxedes Jeremiah.
A very good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. This is Live Talk. I am Kip Stube. Tonight on Live Talk, we are looking at COVID-19, the opening of Zimbabwe's borders, the Rem mine disaster, and the United States elections. Zimbabwe is experiencing an upsurge in the number of COVID-19 cases, with several schools, the Anderson Secondary School, John Tallag High School, Matopo Mission, and others, recording high numbers of COVID-19 cases. Over 30 students at Anderson Secondary School and 184 at John Tallag High School have tested positive for COVID-19. In Zimbabwe so far, 9,950 people have tested positive for COVID-19 and at least 8,482 have recovered and 276 people have actually died. Johns Hopkins University reports that more than 63 million people worldwide have tested positive for COVID-19, with more than 1.5 million people dying of COVID-19. About 13.4 million people, Americans, have tested positive for COVID-19, and over 267,000 have actually died. We are also looking at the opening of Zimbabwe's border posts following their closure earlier this year due to COVID-19. And only private vehicles and pedestrians are now going to be allowed to cross the borders, which include Beitbridge, Victoria Falls, Plumtree, Chirundu, and others. At the same time, we are talking about the Rem mine disaster in which 30 artisanal miners have been trapped underground for a couple of days now. Let's not forget the United States presidential election that has caught the attention of the world, with President Donald Trump not conceding a defeat to Democrat Joseph Biden, claiming that the election was rigged. Both have tossed off their rolls over 30 cases filed by Mr. Trump alleging election rigging. The courts are saying the cases don't have any merit at all. Yes, Rwanda bage sehlangana khona manje ku live talk. So lamtanje kunenge school nakho ke okubalisa ke iCOVID-19. Kuzobuya ke lokunye okuthiyeneyo xa sikhangela iCOVID-19 okwamanje sokulama-cases abaningi kakhulu kwele Zimbabwe. Siyabona ukuthi ezikolo ezinjenge-Anderson Secondary School, eJohn Tallag High School, eMatopo Mission ezinye indawo yomemethebalisayo kumkhuhlane lo. Xa sisikhangela futhi endaweni ezithiyeneyo kwele Zimbabwe kanye umkhuhlane lo uyatshaya sibile kumangalisayo. Sokula bantu 9,950 people survived COVID-19. Kutaba 8,482 sebasila, kuzobuya ke 276 sebabulaye COVID-19. Masikhangela ke iJohns Hopkins University ithi sokulabantu abedlula 63 million asebahlolwa batholakala pelo COVID-19 emhlabeni wonke jikelele. Kutaba 1.5 million sebabhubha. Masikhangela njalo kwele Melika sokulabantu abedlula 13.4 million asebabanjwa COVID-19, wabhubha abedlula 267,000. So-ke, sabe sikhuluma ngokuningi lapha kuzulukandaba. Okunye kwangikhona yibhoda phela ukuthi amabhoda savulwa. Ukuthi kungena izimota, ama-private vehicles, kungene njalo labantu besihambela. So lapha sikhuluma ngeBeitbridge, ePlumtree, eChirundu, lezinye indawo ezijeneyo. Siphinde njalo sikhulume nge-Rem mine disaster khona ngale, lapho-ke umgodi ohloke khona wasugqibela abantu abayidlula 30. So siyabona ke kulabantu kade bezama ukubagebha abantu lava. So ake sizwe omunye wabo ekhuluma ngodaba lolu ngoku. Kanyazani udaba oluhlupha okunye okumangalisayo. Nangu lapho.
Bathi andakaita inini ndekupakupomba kuritwa mvura. Ndainoisa pambu mvura. Kana yakumusoro kwini kirikini. Isi singachakwanisa kukuya mvura. Ndainoidzikisa dyisa. Bati taibatsirwa kudonza chi. Nevanhu kudonza tambo. Saka pane zvakazoitika kwava kumanira takunoisa palevhu yakadzika takapinda pasi mungomana nonzi Weli ndobata alaita zvinyatso kupeneka zvakanaka saka madima risiita patinonyatsa kuti tinyatse kuona patulisa pambu patakadzika tinoisa chinoisa pambu yapasi ndo pane hefa rakadonha kubva mudenga paradzoka kuno ndo rakarowa wele acho paanowira mumvura ndobafira ipapa
anzi wevanhu
bera kumusha kwaganzi anobva kumandaro
saka vana wele akatozofa mushure mekunge vakuda kuedza kununura vanhu vanga vari patapo
So that's one of the people who was trying to rescue these miners, you know, who are trapped underground. And we've got some relatives who are actually camping outside the mining compound. It is called the Ram Mine. It's an abandoned minefield. So let's listen to one of the relatives talking about this issue.
Wakanga wasara wakabata bhutsu dzake achiteke ndinoona kuti vamwe vapedza neshift ndipindewo ndivo vakauya kumba vachindiudza uyu munhu ari mukati mwana vangu akazvara vana vangu ava vakawanda saka handiyega anga asara pavana vese
anonzani zita rake
anonzi tichaona nyoketi
anogara achizviita here kana kuti zvinhu zvaakangosangana nazvo musiwo here
anogara achitsvaga mari yake semunhu akatodzidza kutosvika form 6 akaenda kuyunivhesiti asi akashayiwa basa rekuita kuti araramise mhuri yake sezvo anga aroora inini handaikwanisa kumuchengeta nekuti murume wangu haashandiwo
ndozvati zvakaoma kuti tikubvunzei mbongo muri kunzwa sei izvozvi kuti haasi kuwanika ende vanhu vane nguva yakareba vachiedza kumuwana muri kunzwa sei
tiri kurwadziwa ndotongofunga kuti kana inini wacho tongozviurayawo kuri nani nekuti handina chandichararamira vana vacho handisisei
So that's one of the people that actually camping outside the minefield at Ram Mine. And you heard there, you know, there's a lady whose son is trapped inside that mine shaft. So she's very, very disappointed, and she's saying that it's better for herself to kill herself because of what is happening. That was the only son that was left. So we also have another gentleman that was outside there, and the government is actually promising try by all means to cater for those that have been pulled out of the mine, maybe dead, including Wellington Bere, who actually tried to rescue people and died. Let's listen to what this gentleman is saying.
Ane hunyanzvi mukati angaratidza kunge anononoka nekuti hatidi kurudza umwe upenyu nenyaya yekuti toda kukasira kuti tiwane izvozvo hazvinyatsi kutibetsera toda kuita nemazvo kuitira kuti tisaruza upenyu hwevanhu vatinoziva penyu pari zvinezvi saka ndinoti kuhama neshamwari nenharaunda yebhindura ipai vane hunyanzvi nguva yekuteerana nevadivagani vedu vari pasi
kotanzwa kuti pazoita rufu rwemunhu anga achida kuedza kuyamura zvazofamba sei
mukatarisa mutemo wedu wecivil protection act section 41 unobvumidza kuti mavhorontiya anga aripo vachibetsera aitsawanawo zvayazotiwana asi sekuziva kwangu kana munhu anga ari vhorontiya mutemo unoti tinofanira kumubatsira kana asangana nenjodzi yekukuvara kana yekurasikirwa neupenyu
So the gentleman is a government representative talking about what is happening at Ram Mine, and he was speaking there with our correspondent Nonrai Jenna in Bindura. So now it seems as if you know, those miners are still trapped underground, and a lot is happening. You know, relatives are being very much you know, dejected, thinking that their relatives won't be pulled out of the mine alive. So we still remember that there were six other people in Eswatini were also trapped underground, you know, and up to now, their bodies have not been retrieved from a mine that is said to be owned by Ms. Sakile Ndlovu. So now I'm happy that maybe, let me check whether my host, your co-host, is around. It seems as if he's not yet around here. I'm talking about Tanonoka Wande. But I'm happy that one of my guests, Dr. Simbiso Ranga, is in right now. Let me try to cue him in. so that we can discuss what is going on today. Dr. Ranga, welcome to the program, sir.
Thank you, Gibbs. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much. So Dr. Ranga is living in North Carolina, here in USA. He knows a lot about these issues concerning COVID-19. So tell us a bit. It seems as if, you know, COVID-19 is just causing havoc in Zimbabwean schools and in communities as well. So what could be your advice to local people there, you know, concerning this disease? And welcome to the program.
Thank you, Gibbs. It's unfortunate that COVID-19 is still wreaking havoc across the world, including in Zimbabwe. So my advice to the community is that they should practice COVID-safe behavior. When I say COVID-safe behavior, is that everyone has to assume that they may be infected and that their neighbors or whoever they come in contact with may also be infected. So what that means is that we have to wear face masks whenever we go out of our household. We have to do social distancing, practice basic hygiene. And if anybody has symptoms and the like, they have to quarantine. Of course, one of the challenges is getting people tested. The availability of tests determines, you know, whether we actually, if someone has symptoms, has the disease or they don't. So if they can get access to testing and they have symptoms, that would also be helpful. So for schools, for any gatherings, churches and so forth, you have to assume that the people around you may be infected. So you have to act in a way that minimizes the risk of spread, partly because a lot of people, they have the disease, they have no symptoms, and they can spread the disease to other people. Thank you, Gibbs.
So now, looking at what is going on at schools, how serious is this issue when we have got schools that are open and we have COVID-19 spreading in those schools? What's the best option to shut out this disease?
I think the option depends on what our capacity is. You know, so there are schools which are open and they have protocols to minimize the spread of COVID-19, which means that they have an environment where students and teachers can do social distancing and they wear face masks at all times. That could work. And they test students and teachers now and again to find out, you know, how prevalent or how much COVID-19 is in that school. If you can do that, well, you can keep the schools open if the numbers are low. For most schools in Zimbabwe, I think that is a big challenge just because tests are not widely available. So until that becomes true and that we have enough capacity to have the right protocols, I think it's a very big challenge for everyone to keep the schools open. So basically what I'm saying is, it's not just about opening or closing schools. If we're going to open the schools, how do we do it in a safe way? If we can't guarantee reasonable safety, then it's better to keep the schools closed and do virtual learning, which a lot of places in the world have had to do, or a hybrid. So basically, I think the basis is, how do you minimize the risk of spreading the disease in the schools if you are open? If you can't minimize that risk, it's better to keep them closed and do like virtual learning. Thank you, Gibbs.
Yeah, we see this is happening mostly in advanced societies like USA, where people can do virtual learning via certain apps, you know, Zoom and others. But back home, it's difficult to do that. So students have to go to classes, you know? So now, how difficult is it for African countries like Zimbabwe to tackle this disease in a school environment?
I think it's a big challenge. It's a big challenge. If you don't have a working economy where you can pay teachers a decent wage and teachers are going on strike, it's going to be much more difficult to then be able to ensure that there are the right protocols for COVID-19. So that probably will apply across Africa. There are a few countries like South Africa which have more resources. But even there, you realize that they are struggling to keep up. So really, governments have to go all their way out. They have to work with stakeholders like the World Health Organization, USAID, other organizations which may have more resources to make it possible for kids to learn safely.
So briefly, Nshona, can you tell people what should be done in nations like Zimbabwe to actually minimize, you know, the spread of COVID-19 in communities and at schools, Nshona?
Chanigataura ndeche kuti ma communities kwese kwatinogara tinofana kuziva kuti COVID-19 ichiri kufamba. The fact yekuti hatisi kuita ma test akawanda i problem. It means kuti hatizivi kuti ane chirwere ndiani, anacho asina ndiani. Saka it means kwese kwatinenge tiri kuenda kumabasa, kuzvikoro, kumachechi, tinofana kunge tiri kuti kuacta kana kuita behavior yevanhu vari kufunga kuti vane chirwere and vari kuziva kuti neighbor yavo anokwanisa kunge ane chirwere. Saka ma behaviors aya atinoti COVID-19 safe behavior, or you know, it reduces the risk. Zvinhu zvakaita sekupfeka ma face mask whenever you step out of your household into the community, kuita social distancing zve 6 feet zviya zvinotaurwa, basic hygiene, excuse me, kana vaya vanenge vane ma symptoms vanofanira kuita quarantine, and if they can get tested, that's even better. Saka ndozvimwe zvatinotarisira kuti zvinge zviri kuitwa. Kana zvikoro zviri open, tinenge tichitarisira kuti zvinge zviri open in a safe way. So vanhu vanenge vachifana, vana vechikoro vanenge vachifanira kunge vachitevedzera ma protocols nema teachers ekuti vaminimize kuparadzirwa kwechirwere cheCOVID-19. Saka muzvikoro, you know, social distancing, ma face mask, basic hygiene, things like that, regular testing, zvinhu zvinofanira kunge zviri kukurudzirwa muzvikoro ndokuti tikwanise kukontrola chirwere ichi. But sokunzwisisa kwatinoita, nyika dzakati wandei sana Zimbabwe, right now economy is in the ground. Saka the government has limited capacity. Haina capacity yekuti ikwanise kuti mazvikoro zvinge zviri open safely. So what that requires is kushanda nema organizations ana World Health Organization, USAID, European Union, so forth. There are organizations out there which may be willing kupartner nehurumende nezvikoro kubatsira kuti vana varambe vari muzvikoro.
So, yes, we see that in USA, you know, the cases are very high. And are you guys not afraid of what is going on? And as a doctor here, what are you doing to mitigate against, you know, this kind of spread of COVID-19 in USA?
Gibbs, it's a real challenge for everyone, you know. But like people joke here in America, this safest place actually for doctors and nurses is when they are working with my patients and COVID-19. The reason for that is everyone practices the right protocols in that environment. So just my essential workers, doctors, nurses, and so forth, my nurse aides, we have had to work with COVID-19 patients from the very beginning. The reason why we continue to do it and we feel kind of safe, the risk is real, and any of us can get the disease, and we have had a number of nurses and doctors perish from COVID-19. The reason we have confidence in the hospitals is everyone practices the COVID-19 safe behaviors. So when I work my 12-hour shifts in the hospital, I wear face mask the 12 hours I'm there. I am practicing social distancing. When I'm taking care of patients when my symptoms were diagnosed of COVID-19, I take an extra layer, like I know it's my N95, kufeka my gowns, my gloves, things like that. So as much as the cases are very high, knowing who is infected and knowing who is not infected and having the capacity to practice safe behavior is what keeps us going in the hospitals.
Yes, you can hold on there, Dr. Ranga. So hold on. So lapha ke sikhuluma lo Dr. Ranga, uyasho ukuthi kunengi sibili ongani kuhlasela abantu kwele Zimbabwe ukuthi kuzima ngoba umnotho welizwe lawo ungazani uphansi okunye okumangalisayo. So uthi ke abantu kumele benze khona kodwa i-social distancing, bese ubuye ukuthi abantu begqoke ama-mask, banze konke konoko okufunakala esibhedlela. Uthi lingakelo kwenza konoko umkhuhlane lowo ungamemetheka usiya phambili. So uphinde khuluma lokuthi lapha e-USA baningi abantu ababanjwa ngumkhuhlane lowo, njalo bona njengobodokotela baziprotekta labo ukuthi phela bengabulawa umkhuhlane lowo, loba nje kulabanye odokotela ababulawa umkhuhlane. So Dr. Langa, can you hold on there? I'll come back to you shortly. So now we are joined by another guest, and that is Miss Nokutula Adonsi. Adonsi, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you so much. So let's talk about something a little bit different. The borders are going to be open midnight in Zimbabwe this coming, let's say, Tuesday morning. So now tell us, are people happy about this? Or there's some kind of, you know, unhappiness that maybe the disease, the COVID-19, may spread to Zimbabwe and maybe other countries as well if these borders are open?
I think there's a lot of mixed emotions. Some are happy, some are sad, some are uncertain because of the timing. I guess the government, when the government announced this, they thought that maybe the statistics would be low by that time. But right now, we have seen a lot of, we have seen a rise in terms of the statistics of people that are infected with COVID-19. So hence, it's now difficult to say, to really say, is it going to work? Because some we are asking ourselves, is it going to really work? Because I think this is the wrong timing, whereby a lot of people right now, when the borders are open, we don't really know whether the government the government is going to be able to really curb this or prevent this COVID-19. So right now, a lot of people really have a lot of mixed emotions because we are not so sure whether if going home is going to endanger our parents, our children, or is it going to be a good thing to do. So we are not certain because I think on a personal note, I think this is wrong timing.
Yes.
I don't think borders were supposed to be open.
Yes, go look for it in the Velocono.
Abantu abakhona abajabulileyo, bakhona abangajabulanga, bakhona besabayo ukuthi isikhathi lesi ngani isikhathi esirongo ngoba upresident lapho sithi uzavula imingcele leyo wayekhuluma ngokubonani babekhuluma bekhangelela ukuthi abantu bazabe kuyabe abantu babe balutshwani abazabe bebanjwa ngumkhuhlane lowo. Kodwa nxa sikhangela sibona ukuthi umkhuhlane lowo abaningi sebebanjwa ngumkhuhlane lowo. So lokhu kwenza ukuthi abantu besabe ngoba abakwazi ukuthi ugovernment uzokwazini ukuthi avikele abantu. Kukhona yini imithetho ezwafakwa njengoba ugovernment esehluleka khathesi ukuthi azame ukuthi njengoba sisiza ukuthiwa ezikolo abantwana batholakala bele COVID-19. So kutho ukuthi ugovernment uredi yini ukuthi ama-borders engavulwa lawo, uredi yini ukuthi uzazama ukuthi alungise indaba le ye-COVID-19, uzazama ukuthi avikele abantu kumbe kuzaba wesi kakhulu.
Yeah, bamba konapho ke Adonsi ungayikatshana othi sibise ke udokotela wethu sizwe ukuthi kambe kulamaqhinga yini angenziwa ukuthi kungamemetheki umkhuhlane lo. So Dr. Ranga, it seems as if you know Zimbabwe is opening up its borders and indications are that some people fear that you know COVID-19 may spread, you know, from South Africa to Zimbabwe and Zimbabwe back and other countries. So what's the best way of handling COVID-19 across the borders?
Thank you, Gibbs. What we notice is a lot of countries, they are opening their borders slowly based on numbers improving. The challenge for South Africa and Zimbabwe is really a matter of there are a lot of people out there who may have the disease who are not tested, and now they are crossing borders. They don't know their status. There's a lot of crowding, you know, whether it's in public transport, whether it's at the border post. So basically, I think that for us to be more sure in terms of how safe it is to open, we need to open to do more testing. The government really needs to ramp up testing. That way we know what percentage of those travelers might be infected and how do we make sure that those who are positive quarantine. So I would say that if we go ahead with opening the borders, then there should be a mechanism to find out who is positive, who is negative. Those who are positive and negative as they cross the border, then they need to do the quarantining that is necessary. That's one way. The next way is obviously it's not business as usual. I know that for a lot of people like cross-border travelers who do trading and so forth, this is their livelihood. You know, so they want to be able to take care of their families, and they haven't been able to do that for a while. So there's going to be this rush. What I would suggest to everybody is this may not be the best time because the disease is spreading. So let's find ways to support those communities, like, you know, those people who do cross-border trading. Can we support them internally in Zimbabwe and not say, you know, life is back to normal because we're trying to resuscitate the economy? Because the economy is not going to move forward if we have more people infected. It's going to cause chaos. And we're realizing that here in America. Because if you notice, there was a lot of debate sometime in May, June, when some people were saying, let's just open up because all these people are losing jobs and so forth. And by the way, you know, you don't have to wear a face mask and stuff, which was very schizophrenic messaging. If you're going to open up, do it in a responsible way where people are practicing COVID-19 safe behaviors. The problem is that you won't be able to control everyone's behavior. You might be doing the right thing, but your neighbor may not be. So until the numbers are much lower or until enough people are vaccinated, it's going to be a big challenge. So my thing is, for Zimbabwe, it's still the same. We have a lot of ways to go. So before opening schools, before opening borders, let's think seriously about, do we have the capacity to manage?
So at the end of the day, let's say you contract COVID while you're at the border, you know, the Porta Post. What happens down the line?
Well, you contract COVID. Most people who are healthy, they don't have symptoms, mm-hmm. Which is part of the problem. So you might proceed to South Africa, go back to Zimbabwe, go back to your family, your grandparents, your parents. That's when you can spread the disease to those who are vulnerable. You know, to those who don't have strong immune systems, who have HIV, AIDS, and things like that. And some people have had to live with the fact that they feel like they killed their whole family. Mm-hmm. Here in America, we see a lot of those stories where one person, a grandchild who is in school, comes from school to the grandparents, infects the grandparents, and one by one, the family is gone. That's a real possibility in Zimbabwe or in South Africa. So we have to think seriously. And also, if you're going to go into Zimbabwe and you become symptomatic and very sick, mm-hmm. Our healthcare delivery system right now is in the intensive care unit. So that might be the end, just from something as simple as, you know, I need to feed my family, let me travel across the borders. That's what I would say.
So now, what's your advice to Zimbabweans crossing the borders starting midnight? You know, in Shona, can you really tell them what they should do?
Zanigataura ma Zimbabwe, ndezoti kana mchienda across the borders, munofana kuzvicherechedza nekutevedzera zvinoita kuti chirwere cheCOVID-19 chisaspread. Saka unofana kufunga kuti ndinokwanisa kunge ndine chirwere and I can be spreading it kuma passengers and kutravela nawo. Kuvanhu vandicha trader nawo kusouth Africa and ndinokwanisa kuspreada chirwere kumhuri yangu. Saka what do I do? Face mask at all times. If you can't afford these commercial face mask, well, use a cloth, something to cover your nose and your mouth, mm-hmm. and practice basic hygiene, kwete kubata bata kuface nemhuno nemuromo kuhotsira kana kukosora unokosorera mumanhengi mumagokora also social distancing which means 6 feet at least with anybody you don't live with. It doesn't matter kuti ndisekuru nembuya muzukuru, it doesn't matter. It's just a disease which we spread through the respiratory system. So what I would really encourage is also get tested before you interact with all those you love, or do social, you know, do quarantine for at least 10, 14 days. Otherwise, you might kill your whole family. I know that sounds alarmist, but it's very possible.
Thank you so much, Dr. Ranga. Can you stay on the line? Let's get to Mr. Musani Musontini. He is here in New York. Mr. Ntini, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Mr. Dube. Hello to the viewers and the panelists.
Thank you so much for joining us. So tell us, what do you think about the opening of the borders, you know, in Zimbabwe at midnight?
My view on the border issue is that the borders of Zimbabwe were never closed to begin with, especially when you talk about the land borders. When you look at the Belbridge border post, people have been crossing illegally day in and day out, all the way from March. So the borders were not really closed per se. So maybe now officially opening the borders will allow people to stop using these informal crossing points and force them to go to the actual border post, where they will be tested, they will be put on a contact tracing listing, and we are hoping that there won't be any corruption at the border, where the procedures that are put in by the Minister of Health will not be followed. We are hoping that the rules, the procedures will be followed to the T, so that everyone who is crossing is either you have a certificate indicating that you are Corona-19 negative, or you are actually tested at the border upon arrival or upon exit. So that, you know, yes, we understand that there may be people that may come across and bring the disease. But I think when we actually look at what's happening in Zimbabwe right now, I don't think that our risk really is with people coming in as much. I think we have enough of our people in Zimbabwe right now who are actually the ones spreading this whole thing. You see people holding parties. We look at their mass funerals. Like when you look at the issue of the popular guy, Kinimbi in Harare, how many people attended that funeral? And people are not even wearing masks. You know, then you look at this past weekend, we saw Nicky Mangwana posting pictures on Twitter that they were having a birthday party. He said, these issues really, I think people are actually spreading the disease local. It's not really a matter of people coming from elsewhere and bringing the disease. I think the government of Zimbabwe, through the Minister of Health or other, you know, organizations, we need to make sure that we are testing enough people. Because when you look at how many people have been tested in Zimbabwe today, it's such a small fraction. We are not really testing people for the sake of testing them for COVID-19. We test people when they're already sick and in their, you know, deathbeds. That's when we test people if they have COVID or not. And most people, that results don't even come out until they're gone. And then when you look at the contact tracing for those people, we don't do a good job doing contact tracing. So the issue here is not about the border being open or closed. In my view, the borders were never closed. People, the rich people have been flying in and out of Zimbabwe all along. The poor people have been crossing, the crocodile infested Limpopo all along. So, you know, opening the border, we are hoping that this will streamline and also actually control, knowing who came in and who came out and what their status was. I think, yes, you know, that's what they're saying. And once someone has crossed, my advice to those that have crossed, once you cross to Zimbabwe, please isolate yourself for at least 14 days or wear a mask. Even if you're around your family, try to, you know, isolate as much as you can or wear a mask so that, you know, yes, you might have a certificate for 72 hours or you're tested at the border, but you don't know, you may still have, you know, the virus. So make sure that once you get home, you're wearing those masks and you self-isolate as much as you can. But I think at the end of the day, really, I think the borders are now open. I don't think the government is going to go back on that. So what is important now is for each and every person to be socially responsible. Ask yourself, do I want to infect a relative or do I want to, you know, infect anyone else? And this applies also to people that are in Zimbabwe currently. Mm. Are we wearing our masks?
Yes.
Are we taking care of each other?
Yes. So before I go to Adonsi, Dr. Langa, Dr. Langa, do you have any reaction to that?
I think my brother there said it pretty well, that we may not be able to change some of these things happening already, but at an individual level, we should be practicing safe behavior at all times. Like I said earlier, you have to assume that you may be infected and you don't want to infect your neighbor, your family, your friends. And we have to assume that your neighbor, your friend may be infected. So you have to behave that way at all times until enough people have been vaccinated to build what we call herd immunity, which looks like maybe 70% of the population, being immune. That's when we can kind of just interact like we used to before, maybe with alterations. So I'm in agreement in terms of the thought process. I still think that the government has a big role to play in ramping up testing, in ensuring that there is, you know, a smooth flow of traffic at the border, making sure that there is no crowding, things like that. Those are things that the government is responsible for. And they still have the capacity to do that as much as they feel compelled to open the borders. They have to do it in a responsible way.
Let's hold on. Let's go to Adonsi. Adonsi, what's your take on that?
I think the government is not ready for them to open the borders, because if they can't control people locally, because we see that our health system is collapsing, so there's no guarantee for locals that are for Zimbabweans, without talking about people that's gonna visit the country. We are just talking about Zimbabweans that are locally. So if the government can't contain those locals, what about people that will come internationally? So I think the government is not ready at the moment to really open borders, because as the doctor is clearly explaining how this disease, it's everything that is going on. So I think the government is not ready. As much as individually, people, they can take care of themselves, but we need initiatives. We need good initiatives that's going to at least try to curb this disease, at least try to control this disease, because we don't want a situation whereby it will be... There will be no space to keep this disease whereby the situation will be just uncontrollable. So I think for the government is supposed to really close these borders at this time, because this is a very business time. So I don't think now they are not ready to really say, let's open borders, because we have a lot of people survive through cross-border trading. We understand. But at the same time, when the majorities, when these borders are open, so which means we definitely going to see a lot of rise in terms of COVID-19 cases, because there's a lot, you know, even if the border is closed, the border is open, like in a normal time. This is not a normal time. The border is always very busy. It's a very busy place to be. So as much as someone can individually take care of yourself or himself, but I think the government should really close these borders.
Thank you very much. Let's go to our poet. So we can hear... There's some kids playing over there. So can you ask them to just cool down a little bit? So tell us a bit.
Okay.
So you are in the corner phone and you are hearing that the borders are going to be open. So what's your take on that?
I think there is an element of confusion amongst us as a people, because people are trying to say we need borders to be open because for their own journeys. They've got relatives who are outside the country whom they think they will come home. We have a lot of experience, but if government continue closing borders, we think they're supporting us because we need everything, maybe from outside the country. We need to meet our relatives. Others, maybe they are waiting for people coming here for meetings. As a poet, if they are coming in, I'll be having clients coming outside the country. Because if they're coming, I won't be having events. But as it stands, there are examinations. It's a critical situation because those students who are supposed to examinations, they need a critically sensitive protection against COVID-19, including their own parents, because if they're having COVID-19 from home, they're taking it to school, taking it to teachers, and they will come back home as well, and this thing will spark. That's the problem. Our problem is where residents, as people, as citizens, we are not responsible enough. Few days back, I was in rural areas at a funeral. There were more than 200 people. Only three people were putting on masks. And someone was pointing at me saying, I have corona. When you're putting on a mask, people are laughing at you, thinking we've got coronavirus. So people are responsible now. But what we used to do maybe 20 years back, saying, I want to have HIV, I want to have a town, I want to have a town. Look at it, we know that the pastor can have HIV. We used to test people using our own eyes. And I am coming from Bond localized in again. And the people perished. Like I tell you, we are going to perish because of this single. We are not responsible enough as a people. We mustn't put the blame always to the government, but as ourselves,
we are your phone is breaking a bit. So stay there. Don't move. Let's go to Dr. Langa. Dr. Langa, I think you heard the poet saying there were 200 people at a funeral wake, you know, and only about three people were wearing masks. What's the meaning of that, you know?
It means that people are not well informed because no one, if they knew the danger, would take it for granted. I know with HIV/AIDS, some people will say, well, if I don't die of HIV/AIDS, I'm going to die of a traffic accident anyway. Oh, I'll die of malaria. Mm-hmm. But nobody wants to increase their risk of death. So I think that a lot of our people, they are not informed about what COVID is all about. Because wearing a face mask and social distancing, it may be the new normal, but that's something all of us can do. You know, basic hygiene is something that's expected of all of us anyway. So I think the lack of knowledge is causing our people to die unnecessarily. So you go to this funeral, 200 people, three people wearing face masks. It means that you are lining up for the next funeral because at that funeral, be rest assured, there are people with COVID-19. And like I said, until we get to a place where we have herd immunity, where enough people are immune against the disease, you have to assume that people around you have the disease. So that's something that we need to do a better job of educating our people to say, how do you minimize the risk? Yes, the government has a responsibility. The community has a responsibility. The Ministry of Health has a responsibility. But we have an individual responsibility. You don't say, well, I'm going to let myself die because the government is not doing its job. You try your best. And there are things that are within our control. And that are things like, you know, what I keep saying, COVID-19 safe behaviors. Once you step out of your home and you're out there in the community, assume everyone you meet has the disease. How do you minimize the risk? That's what we have to be talking about as Zimbabweans. Thank you.
And you are talking about an issue called herd immunity. Can you define it a little bit so that people can understand what you're talking about?
So when we talk about herd immunity, you know, like you're herding cattle, right? So you have 20 cattle. So if there is a disease that can be spread between these animals, you know, which in cases, in our case is 200 people, right? Excuse me, it's not COVID.
No problem. Yeah,
so
no problem.
You have 200 people. If enough of those people are immune against COVID-19 through the vaccine, this is what we are all waiting for. That's our panacea here. It means that even if you have 20 or so, who may not be immune, even if there's the disease in the community, when they can't get it from these other people, because these other people, they are already immune, so they can't get the disease, so they can't pass it on to those who don't have the disease. So when more and more people are immune, it means that the chance of spreading the disease in the community gets lower and lower over time. Some people have talked about getting immunity through getting the disease, which I think is a very irresponsible way of thinking about it, because by the time everyone is immune, you would have had those vulnerable people, like people who are immunocompromised, the elderly, those with lung diseases, they would have perished because they would have been exposed to the disease. So you get some immunity, which we think right now might be temporary if you get the disease, like the flu. No, you get it every season, you get vaccinated because your immunity wanes. Even if you get the disease now, after 4 or 5 months, you can get it again. So kind of, I hope that makes sense.
It does. It does, really. So I think our poet is back. Can you hear us, Mr. Kruger?
Yes, I do hear you, sir.
Yes. So you are saying that as a poet, you need people to cross the borders to come to Zimbabwe, and then you can have your act. So, but is that not dangerous to have many people in one room where they'll be watching you doing your own thing?
Honestly speaking, that is very, very, very dangerous and risky. But we have to look at the future as well. I'm not advocating for this to be done because of I'm hungry or I'm insolvent. But I'm saying, we don't know when is this COVID going to end. It might be indefinite. We need to look at other ways of surviving. Because if you don't know, let me put it in this way. It might be a particular HIV within closed borders, but we need to find other solutions, other alternatives who will help people not to have this disease at the same time living, because we might.
Yes, I think we are getting cut again. So
don't close our doors and stuff like that. But what are we going to eat later? That's my problem.
Yeah, okay, hold on there, because you're getting cut off. So, be one place, don't move. So, let's get Mr. Ntini before we go to Mr. Donsi. So, Mr. Ntini, looking at the way we are hearing from our doctor, saying that, you know, this herd immunity and all those kind of things, you know, do you think that maybe Zimbabwe is in a situation where COVID will end up being uncontrollable? Just briefly.
Actually, it's not controllable as we speak right now. I think, you know, we are served by the grace of God that millions and millions of people haven't died. I think there isn't enough testing, and when people get tested, there isn't enough contact tracing as we speak right now. But, you know, when we start talking about people retaining, you know, there are certain people that need to return to Zimbabwe. For instance, there are people that are in South Africa. They are homeless, and these people want to go back to their rural areas because they don't have jobs in South Africa. So those people, I think, should be allowed to go back. And then, of course, you know, I think if I were the government of Zimbabwe, I would have maybe created a system where people show up at the border by appointment, so that people don't crowd the borders. But unfortunately, we know what's happening. People just show up and they'll line up. But, you know, I wish they had implemented a system where people can show up by appointment only. And then on the issue of people attending funerals with no mask, I think there is a lack of education, and also there is lack of enforcement. You don't have a mask, what are the consequences of not having one besides spreading or getting COVID-19? But I think if we had, you know, if there were consequences and there were enforcements, people would think twice and start doing what they are supposed to do.
Right, Ms. Antin, let's turn to another important issue, U.S. elections. So as far as things are going right now, it seems as if, you know, Mr. Trump is not conceding, and it doesn't necessarily need to concede to say, yes, Mr. Biden defeated me. So, but looking at what is going to happen next, can you explain to people what the steps that are going to be taken before inauguration, just briefly?
I think within the next coming days, the Electoral College would meet and vote. We are hoping that they will respect the will of the people or the wills of the people and endorse Biden as he was the president-elect from the popular vote, and also based on the allocation of the, you know, of the Electoral College, points, for the lack of a better word. And then the next thing, I think, you know, Congress will, you know, look at that and satisfy the vote of the EC. And then from there, really, you know, there is nothing else except for us to get to January 2021 for the inauguration. Yes, Trump, I think he said he'll only consider conceding when the EC has voted. But I think, like you said clearly, he doesn't need to concede. I think the writing is on the wall here, Dube. He's definitely on his way out. He's just confusing people and confusing his followers and trying to find sympathy and also maybe the case for 2024 if he ever runs again.
Yes, just briefly,
Konoko. I want to do a witty is the Hamba Wushi. So, say, Wuchi Malangi. The Electoral College is Langani. He can't say what to buy the way the president elect. Harris, the vice president elect. When I look at the Zagala, William Tato, yenza ukuthi ama-electoral college evote ngendlela abantu abavota ngayo ngo-November 3rd njalo lama-results aphuma ngawo emalangeni alandelayo. So ngibona nganaye uTrump nje akusela nto azayenza, sesimelele nje uJanuwari 2021 ukuthi uBiden lo Harris bengene officially esikhundleni.
Yes, ngathi adonsi ukhetholo lokukhumbuzana.
Hayi, ukhetho lolu belungani luyahlupha bese simangele lathi ukuthi kanti sebefuna ukwenza njengama-African countries bese singasakwazi ukuthi kanti la i-USA iyakwazi ukuthi yini iyenze njenge-Africa, ngoba honestly we never expected ukuthi kuzaba lokunye okuyi-chaos, kuzaba lo muntu onjengo-Trump. Well, anyway, besivele sikwazi ukuthi uTrump engakwazi ukwenza lokho, ngoba kumangalisi nje considering his character and considering ukuthi indlela nje vele abuse ngayo, it was almost clear nje ukuthi hhayi umuntu lo uzasuka. So uTrump nje akusela nje into eziningi, uTrump nje uzazisukela kufakwe uBiden, and uTrump kumele nje kuphela save i-dignity yakhe for future references, kwenzela ukuthi kusasa party akusela lutho. I think izinto so far bese sesaba ukuthi ungaba lo mvukela or something, but actually kuyatshengisela nje ukuthi i-constitution ye-USA is very strong, and njalo bayahlonipha ivoti yomuntu, amavoti abantu bayawahlonipha kakhulu.
Dr. Ranga, just your take on the elections, your take on that.
Thanks, Gibbs. I think, like everyone is saying, I think the election has been decided. It has been decided 2 weeks ago. What we learned from the U.S. experience is that the media, the citizens, they are the ones who oversee this process. And that's why in the U.S., even though you may have a candidate who wants to overturn everything, he can't do that. It's like Mr. Trump will be saying to the citizens, you cheated me by voting me out. So, and that's the case he seems to be making. So whenever he goes to the courts, there's not enough evidence to present before the courts to back up his claims of fraud and so forth. And then we see that we have institutions that are durable, you know, the courts, the media, the local body of elections in each state. They are the ones who run this show. The candidates show up and the citizens pick their winners. So as things stand, my brother was saying earlier, Mr. Trump may be confusing his followers and people across the world, but those who follow how things work in America realize that the game is over. Right now, the world may be learning how the American system works. You have strong institutions, strong constitution, but at the end of the day, individuals are what make up those institutions. And there are some individuals who have chosen to take Mr. Trump's narrative, even when there's not enough evidence to suggest that. But the overwhelming majority of the country, I think they realize that this game is over. In fact, today, Mr. Biden will get his first national security briefing, according to reports. And the formal transition process was kicked on sometime last week. We wait for the Electoral College, the Congress, and then inauguration on January 20th. But I think that's just running through the motions. And we are also seeing the U.S. system under a stress test because of Mr. Trump's, what some people call, antics. So that's what I would say.
Mm-hmm. So now, maybe lastly, Obed Mpofu, the poet, has actually been nominated as Outstanding Pan-Africanist Poet. So there's voting that is going on right now as you speak. He's going to compete, and he was invited by the United Africa for Economic Empowerment to participate in the awards. He has been nominated, and indications of that he's going to maybe going to win the award. So he's looking at participating in this kind of very prestigious award. Mr. Dube is a Pan-Africanist and is a great poet. So we think. Your last word, Mr. Ntini, your last word, say.
Yeah, as the voters are opening Dube, I advise each person to be socially responsible. I think this is up to us as individuals to protect each other, be each other's keepers. I don't think the government on its own can achieve anything. I think they've indicated so far, by all indications so far, they've failed to protect us. And, you know, I don't blame them. This is pandemic is bigger than anything else we've experienced. So let us all be responsible. Let's wear our masks, let's wash our hands, and use any sanitizer as much as we can.
Thank you so much. Dr. Ranga, your last word?
Thank you, Gibbs. I would just like to say thank you for having me on the show, and I would like to encourage all Zimbabweans across the country, anywhere in the world, to practice COVID-19 safe behaviors, celebrate the holidays, but in a very responsible way. It might be okay this year not to visit your parents in the villages, until we have good control of the disease. Thank you.
And your last word, Adonzi?
Thank you very much to all listeners. I think a lot have been said by our doc here about how someone should try and protect himself or herself. The last what I will say is I would like to plead with everyone that please let's take care. Let's try by all means to be patient. This is a passing phase. One day we're going to wake up in a very normal world where everything is okay, where we are free to go everywhere, where we are free to go without wearing a mask. So it's a matter of time. Everyone should be very, very patient.
Mr. Ntini?
Hi. Siyabonga bakudule ukusinxusa lapha sigqiba uNovember, sesingena kuDisemba. Unfortunately, December low, kulomehluko kuloDisemba, oDisemba oningi esibaziyo. Ikhisimusi lama bonus lonyaka angikwazi ukuzahamba njani, but hayi, siyabonga kakhulu. Sithemba abantu bazozigcina njalo beziprojecte from i-COVID-19.
Sorry, we have to leave it here. We thank our guests this evening, Dr. Simbiso Ranga, Ms. Noctula Adonsi, Mr. Busani Mbusontini, and poet Opet Dube in Victoria Falls. Signing off is Kim Dube in Maryland, saying good night, Zimbabwe.